Okay, good evening, everybody. Tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we're continuing in Siman Shin Lamed, which is Dinim of Yoledes on Shabbos. We are at Kuf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Siman Shin Lamed, Si'if Zayin, it should be a pretty short shir tonight, says the Shulchan Aruch. Havlad Shinolad, Osno Kol Tzrachav. When a baby is born, you do whatever the baby needs. On Shabbos, Umar Chitzin Oso, you bathe him, Umolchin Oso, and you salt him. We'll have to see what that means. V'tomnin Ashilya, and we hide the placenta, so that the baby will be warmed. And we cut the umbilical cord. But all of these things that we do for a baby is only if the baby was born after 7 months or 9 months of pregnancy. But if the baby was born in the 8th month of pregnancy, or you're unsure if the baby's in the 7th month or 8th month of pregnancy, then you're not Mechal Shabbos unless you see that the baby has the physical signs of fully baked, so to speak, that he's got hair, he's got fingernails. The assumption that Chazal always had was that there were two types of pregnancies that are both full-term pregnancies. There's a full-term 9-month pregnancy, which is what we're familiar with, and Chazal assumed there's another type of full-term pregnancy that could be a 7-month pregnancy, that there are two gestational tracks that a woman could be on, either the 7-month track or the 9-month track. There is no 8-month track, and therefore a baby that is born in the 8th month is considered to be a premature baby that has zero chance of survival. Thank God nowadays health is at a place and medical care is at a place where there's a very high chance of survival in the 8th month and even way, way earlier than that. But that was always the assumption Chazal had, and that's the assumption Shulchan Aruch is working with, that a baby born in the 8th month can't be Mechal Shabbos for, because the baby's going to die. It's not, it has zero chance to survive. So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Sivka L'chav Bey. Oslo called Tzrachav. So a baby that's born, you do whatever he needs. Hainu hadumavor lekameh. What is whatever it needs? Well, that's the whole rest of the sif. So we said marchitzin, you're allowed to bathe the baby. Enol if you say demavor b'shas. The way that we describe it over here is not in the same order that it appears in shas. Umapik mikra, and these things are derived from a pasuk v'shamisa. And over there it says dechot chena tabur, that first we cut the umbilical cord v'achar kach rochtzin oso, and then you bathe the baby. That's what the Rambam writes as well. Vidda, but you should be aware, that the Magen Avraham says in the name of Tosfos that all of these things that we're describing over here are only dinim derabbanan, are only isurim derabbanan that we're doing for the baby. We would not do a melacha d'oraisa for the purposes of bathing and cutting the umbilical cord and these kinds of things. Because these things are not a sakana to the baby. If you don't do them, it would just be a tsar to the baby. So to avoid that tsar, you're allowed to violate the rabbanans, but you're not allowed to violate the raisas if it's not a matter of sakana. V'im kein lefi zeh. And therefore, it would turn out, if you don't have a knife to cut the umbilical cord, and you need to bring a knife from somewhere else, and you need to carry it into Rosh Hasharabim, you wouldn't be allowed to bring it on Shabbos. You just have to tie the umbilical cord for now to stop the blood flow, and that would be it, and you'd leave it till after Shabbos. I think a tabor means the umbilical cord. And the same is true with all the other things over here, as long as it does not pose a danger. However, he says, I quote in the Bir Halacha, many Rishonim hold that you are allowed to violate a Melacha D'Oraisa for all of the items mentioned in the Sif. I'll call Panim Lavi Olidei Ovid Gilulim Olahachim Chamin Al Yadol Lirchatz Avlad Bevadai Mutter. And certainly if you have a guy available to you to do all of these things, even Melacha D'Oraisa Al Yadei a guy, to do Amir La'akum, to warm up water, to bathe the baby, to bring the knife through the Rosh Hasharabim for Chatichas HaTabor, all of those things would be Mutter. Umolchin Oso, so we said one of the things you could do for a baby is to salt the baby. What does that mean? Kedei She'yiskasha HaBasar, it's to harden the flesh a little bit. It sounds like they would actually use salt. That they would use dust of a hadas and similar such things. Whatever they used to do, whatever the standard of care was. and they would hide the placenta, v'lo bakarka, but they wouldn't dig it in and hide it in the ground, mishum zeh l'kuli amalo mechalin shabata, because to hide the placenta cannot be enough of a need for the baby that you'd be allowed to be mechal Shabbos. But rather, what they would do when the baby was born on Shabbos, ashiros tom nosab b'sfalim shal shemen o b'sfogin shal tzemer, wealthier women would hide the placenta in jugs of oil or cuts of wool, va'anios b'mochen o b'teven, and poorer women with other types of stuffing or straw, u'b'chal eilevelu tom nosab b'aretz. But during the week, they would dig a hole in the ground and they would bury the placenta in the ground, meaning apparently they believed that by burying the placenta, somehow it's beneficial for the baby, even though the baby's got nothing to do with the placenta at that point. Kedesha yecham avlad, that it will heat up the baby, it will warm the baby. Vayze miderech segula etzlam. So it says Mishabura, yeah, this was some type of segula, that they held that by burying the placenta in the ground, the baby would actually be warmer. V'chotchin, and we said they can cut the tabur, acher shekoshnu, so it's after they tie it. Vayin magin arvam shechatich satabur bialma eno ki im shuvos, that cutting it is only in this drabanim. Sefer kovitz aram kasub shem sefer shoshalim l'david shochiach di yishbzei yisur daraisa. However, in the kovitz, in the sefer kovitz aram, he writes in the name of sefer shoshalim l'david that it's in fact a daraisa v'rak hachamuter. It's just that we allow it over here. Avol nolo l'shmona. We then said, however, if the baby is an 8-month baby, devadai lo chai, which means it's definitely not going to live, then ein mechalim dekivin demesapkla, and we said that even if it's a suffix, whether it's a 8-month baby or a 7-month baby, we're not mechal Shabbos dekivin demesapkla nemhayi ben kayama me olam lo mechalinan, since we never had a chazaka that this baby was a baby that was destined to survive, we cannot be mechal Shabbos v'lo dami lo hadiyo shavas alamashper b'sif hey dasamari dekol lo chadoshav. And this is not like what we said in Sif Hey, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos once the woman is on the birthing stool, even though the baby hasn't been born yet, because over there we know that it was a full-term pregnancy. Elim came Gamru. We said, if you're not sure if it's a 7-month or an 8-month baby, but you see that its nails are fully grown in, its hair is fully grown in, then you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for it. Kai Gama Ben Shmona, even if you know for sure it's an 8-month baby, Kedisa Beis Yosef Atam, and the reason for that is, Tamrinon Shu Ben Shiva Vishtayu Hudishtahi. We assume that if a baby is born in the 8th month and he looks fully baked, he looks like his hair is all grown in, his nails are all grown in, it must have been a 7-month pregnancy that went overdue, as opposed to a premature baby. The Be'er Agra disagrees. He thinks that when it comes to Chol Shabbos, you cannot rely on the physical signs of the baby. You have to see that it actually survives for 30 days in order to be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for it. Only when it comes to a Muktzah issue would we rely on the fact that it has fingernails and that it has hair, but not to be Mechal Shabbos by doing Malachos of Shabbos. All of this is irrelevant nowadays, because nowadays babies survive Baruch Hashem when they're in the 8th month and when they're before the 8th month. Happens to be coming up Yom Kippur, doctors say that fasting during pregnancy is slightly more dangerous for women in the 8th month than any other month, meaning prior to the 8th month it usually will not send a woman into labor. In the 9th month it will send a woman into labor, but great, let it. It's fine. In the 8th month, you know, you could be entering into sakana if it sends a woman into labor, and it's likely to do so. So it's a little bit of an iffy time from a modern day perspective, but not in the way that the Shulchan Aruch meant it. So again, to review what we learned tonight, Shulchan Aruch says that if a baby is born on Shabbos, you're allowed to bathe it and salt it and hide the placenta, but none of these things are a malacha d'oraisa. All of these things are only d'rabbanans, although the Mishnah Berurah says, even if they did involve a malacha d'oraisa, you could do it al yidei amira l'nachri. And the Shulchan Aruch said that none of these things are mutter if it's a ben shmona or a suffik ben shmona, but we have a machlokas whether Gamru Sa'aro Vitziparnav is enough to allow you to violate these malachas. Shulchan Aruch says yes, whereas the Gra says no. You also need to see that it's able to survive for 30 days. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will finish up Simin Shin Lamed. Everyone have a wonderful evening.